A61, number 17A.
All right. We go on in our list. We come to soul reverses. You have that? And under reverses, similar expressions like exchanges, transforms. You could also put there reforms. Translates, perhaps also. Wouldn't you feel that these are all the same aspects of the same tone of reverses? Now, can you reason out now why soul reverses, why it is not mind, why it is not life, why it is not love that reverses? Can you now, with the method that we have been using, think it out?
When you're equipped with spiritual sense, the natural thing then is to exchange objects of sense for ideas of soul. It's just like a natural follow-through. It's not an effort or a task assigned that you have to use this new equipment for, but it seems as though it's a natural thing that would follow through the translating and reforming and reversing and exchanging the objects of sense with the spiritual sense that has just broken through.
Yes, it's very nice, yeah. It doesn't quite answer the question. Why not? And we have to see why, because I just don't want that you make a whole year long the same mistakes. I come always back. Didn't I put the method very simple? That you go out from the idea, not from what we discussed before. You don't go out from, we have now come to spiritual sense and so on. You just have a term called reverses. You must go out from the meaning of the term reverses. You must go out from the term itself and see how through the synonymy principle you arrive at soul. Yeah. So you would, I mean, what you said was all right, is correct in metaphysics. It, just that you begin to see that you started out with spiritual sense and what spiritual sense does. Instead of seeing reverses, now why should soul reverse? All right, Judy, you have the next one.
Well, the process of reversal is returning back to an original state, returning back to the proper order of the original state.
Okay, can I interrupt you and then you go on? Can you see? She goes out and says, what does the term mean? Reverse. Quite right. Reverse means that it's a process of going back to the original state. All right, now you go on again.
And soul, the original state or identity, you're seeing something in its true original identity, which is soul.
Okay, yeah. Now what kind of ideas did you have already in it now which indicate soul?
Original. Changeless, you could say. Identity. Well, you could also put in here senseless, because restoring couldn't restore something without first knowing what the original was. So,
yeah.
So spiritual senses would be part of it.
Yeah. Thing. And you said, I can see the original, huh?
Yeah.
You see the testimony, huh? The definition of the original, huh? Yeah. You just have to watch. Usually you say it much better than when I ask you again. You see, then you get irritated and say, now I have to be very careful. But when you do it naturally, you are much better. Yeah? Somebody else wanted to say something? Yeah?
I was going to say that the soul knows what's right. And it gets this knowledge and the power to enforce it from mind through spirit. Therefore, soul has the power to correct anything that is not right, not in line with the principle or idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really was reversed it. Yeah. Just.
We not only have to learn a new language, but we have to relearn how to think. I can see that.
That's right.
How to reason.
So you can see what you were doing. Or something very different. Huh? You were starting out from mind, through spirit to come to soul, and to say why soul does reverse. So you started out from the fact that you have accepted what Mrs. Sezi says is true. That's very nice. You are allowed to do that, and very, very honorable.
Loyal.
So this is one way, but the other way we're thinking is something else, you know. Say, you wouldn't know that soul reverses. You wouldn't know that it is soul that reverses. But you just would have the proposition that something was so wrong in your experience that you say, no, this must be reversed. How would you know with which synonymous term to work if you don't know that soul reverses? Therefore, you would have to go out from the idea of reversal. What does the idea of reversal imply? And the idea of reversal implies that something has apparently lost its true identity, and you have to go back to that identity. So you have identity, so that the true identity is shown forth, testimony of the identity, so that you don't feel that something has fallen away from the true identity, you are falling away, losing, and so you build up a whole, that's also the synonymy principle, you build up synonymous ideas, and as then you have a faint glimmer that identity, true testimony, no loss has to do with soul, you say, for it's soul. Reversal has to do with soul. Yeah? So that's the other. It all depends from which angle we approach something. Say, do you know by certain what mutation, to which synonymous term mutation belongs? No. You see, that's the process, huh? But there you are perhaps confronted with a situation where you feel, my golly, we need really a terrific mutation, or things just go down the drain. You have a proposition of mutation, but you don't know yet, perhaps from your synonymous term, study of the synonymous term, what idea it is. Therefore, you have to go out from the idea and build it up. And there you would arrive then at the synonymous term. So this is another way then to study the textbook and find through text analysis the ideas which we have here. That's the first thing we have to do. That was the assignment one. And the other assignment was to see how these ideas meant blend into each other, so that they actually form one synonymous term. If you have both sides, you know, then we get the first thing, spiritual sense, but it can be done academically. The other one, to get the feel of it, the sense of it, the spiritual sense of it, is when you begin to ponder these ideas, the meaning of ideas, the blending of these ideas with other ideas, and you build up a spiritual touch of it. So in this way I try, you see, to give the letter and the spirit. All right, so we have soul, that says I'm what I am, I'm the identity, and therefore everything that does not belong, that is not in conformity, in accordance, in correspondence with this identity will be exchanged, will be reversed, will be translated back to its original. That's from the point of view of soul. Hmm? Yeah. Can you, yeah?
Max, I have a question. By use of this anonymity principle, could you study the synonymous terms in reverse order, that is, studying the qualities first and coming to the meaning, the synonymous term meaning, this way, rather than studying from the synonymous term forward? Would that work?
I don't think this would be a very easy job. First of all, which term would we take? We have a dictionary of 100,000 terms. Which one would we pick out as being relevant to the study of the synonymous term? That would be the first big job, because we wouldn't know the terms. So that would be the practical and unsurmountable, can you say? An unsurmountable task. If we have it, if we would have done that, and if we would have, say, a good section of a few hundred qualities that we think are important for ontological questions, then we would have another nearly unsurmountable task, namely that each term has many meanings, very many meanings. If we would go to the dictionary of Webster, Oxford, anything, we would find under every term a whole range of different meanings, and we would have the ambiguity of the terms. We wouldn't quite know, shall we take will as a will or as the last will, which we write down as we had it. Therefore, from going out from the terms, from language, I think is a very, very difficult thing. I think that the balance of it, to first proceed from the revelation, the revealed text, Mrs. Eliezer revealed text, gives us a certain amount of ideas, and then to see what these terms mean, and perhaps from there, return back. But I would say that it's an ambiguous task, very ambiguous, because language, the more we understand the textbook and understand the spiritual language, the more one sees how inadequate human language is. Okay.
I thought he was asking what would happen if you started with love and
No. Once for a while I had it right. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. So we have here, yeah. Now we come to the next, really. This is an important one. Unchangeable. Now, can you see how, here again, you have to use your spiritual sense. The one before was reverses and exchanges and transforms and reforms, and now comes, so to say, exact the opposite, which says soul is unchangeable. Well, if I transform and reform and exchange, I certainly have not the sense of unchangeability. Now, how do we explain now soul as unchangeable?
The soul is unchangeable, but these other terms refer to what it does in human experience.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, we would say, we come now to, here's a very clear example that we could say, from the standpoint of the word, soul says, The idea of soul is that it has identity, that it is unchangeable. Hmm? But that soul, from the standpoint of the Christ, of the Christ's impact on the human, soul would change, or has the ability, the power, the transforming power to change. And therefore, again, you see how absolutely inadequate terms are change. We just say change. Does it actually change? It does not change. Huh? It only changes its opposite. Therefore, we really should be much more explicit, huh? And say, soul reverses the opposite. It does not reverse itself. It does not reverse an idea. It does not reverse an idea so that it becomes an illusion. It only reverses an illusion back to its idea. Can you see how we use terms, and we have to do it in an abbreviated way, but we always should see what, in which specified way they are meant, or we come into a wilderness. So soul reverses, as we had, we really should say reverses its opposite, huh? Reverses error. Soul does not reverse ideas. That's what mortal sense does, what mortal testimony does. She says mortal sense is it, material sense is that reverses or transforms an idea into a material concept. Whereas soul never can do that. Soul can never do that, to transform an idea into a material concept. Can you see how we have to get used to tones and not to words? And here also, if we say soul is unchangeable, then we must see this is an idea of soul. Because in its Christ aspect, it does change the opposite. This unchangeability is the biggest changing factor. It changes everything that needs to be brought back to its identity. And that is, I think, the difficulty with every metaphysical language, that the terms are used in so many ways that seem to be contradictory, and yet they are not, as long as we look at them in a dimensional way. But we have the dimension of the Word, the dimension of the Christ, the dimension of Christianity, the dimension of science, that we have the dimension of divine science, of absolute Christianity, and the Christian science. We must see in regard to which dimension a term is used. All right. So, one of the main points of soul as identity is that it is unchangeable. We have here a great number of ways that Mrs. Eddy brings out this absolute unchangeability of soul. She says that soul is untouched by material sense and so on. Untouched by. Can you hear untouched as an idea of soul? That it is, that soul cannot be lost. That an identity cannot be lost. That we cannot lose the identity of anything. Not lose the identity of health, of lack, of fullness, of a supply of joy, of freedom, of anything. We cannot lose the identity of everything that has the nature of idea. She says that soul remains undisturbed. Can you see that? Undisturbed. Unimpaired. That soul has a sense of immunity, a sense of constancy. Soul is intact. Can you hear all these terms? Whatever you bring up, therefore you have safety, of soul, because it doesn't change. Because the identity doesn't change, you feel a safety. You can't rely on it. You are 100% sure it will not change. Constancy. Okay. Soul cannot be injured. The practical application. If soul is of that nature, then you can see what is an idea. An idea is always also an idea of soul. Therefore, every idea, whatever the idea is that comes to us, is of the nature of soul. Therefore, it cannot be touched, it cannot be marred, it cannot be blurred, it cannot be diluted, it cannot be, what else? Give me another 5 or 10 words, Cannot be, give me any idea that shows that the identity cannot be, cannot be blemished, cannot be
upset.
Cannot be upset. Absolutely, huh?
Confused?
Cannot be confused.
Vague. Cannot be vague.
Vague. Yeah. Cannot be vague, huh? Because definite. Yeah. More?
Enigmatical.
Enigmatical. No? You see, that's mind, huh? Because it has to do with knowing it, huh? Soul, I was already with something else, not quite happy. It has all only to do that its identity cannot be impaired. Impaired. Oh, here we have another one. Huh?
Deceived.
Deceived. Yes?
Huh?
That's mind, huh? Deceived. You see? Has to do with knowing, huh? Yeah. Not with identity, huh?
Never injured.
Never injured.
Defaced.
Loud?
Defaced.
Defaced.
Unbalanced.
Can never be unbalanced.
Destroyed.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah. Well, Yeah. Okay. Now, you must see soul as identity. Therefore, everything that impairs that identity in any way, is not possible. You have more? So we have quite a few. If we would now put them together, what you said, they are. Can you hear? But these are all problems that we meet in practical life every day. That our whatever there is, our health or our happiness or our harmony and so on, if it is of the nature of soul, let's see how many we have. Cannot be impaired, cannot be injured, cannot be marred, cannot be blurred, cannot be
deformed. Emotional? Emotional.
The identity cannot be emotioned.
Emotional.
Well, it must make sense. An idea can be emotional. Oh, I see. An idea cannot be emotional. No, that's not that. That has nothing to do with the identity of an idea. With destroying the identity of an idea. What else do we have?
What is it?
Unbalanced there,
Disturbed.
Disturbed, Yeah.
Irregular,
yeah.
Harmed.
Hurt. Okay. Aren't these arguments with which we have to do practically day in, day out? We feel hurt, We feel harmed. We feel unbalanced, Can you see?
Dissatisfied?
You can't stay with the identity, You can't stay with identity, Alright. Can you see how important it is that you exercise that for a year too? You know, this is the thing we have done for 10 years before we could really start out building on the synonymous term. It took us about 10 years to culture the synonymous term, and only when we had the culture of this synonymous term we could begin to see how the synonymous term begin to operate in being. So you feel how much refined, much more polished your consciousness must be. Yeah? Okay. We go on and come to the next one. We have that soul has a seed within itself. That Mrs. Eddy shows in the third day of creation, that everything has a seed within itself, that it reproduces itself after its own kind, after its own gender. Mm-hmm. Now, what does it mean that soul is symbolized by this biblical symbol of having the seed within itself? You know, that's the third day. On the third day, you know that God, how is it? Huh? God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb, yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. It's the third day. What does it mean?
That the identity of everything is intact within itself?
That the identity of everything is intact from within itself. And if it is a seed, that means that the identity always reproduces itself. Hmm? That we don't have to reproduce it, but that the identity is that which always takes care of itself to remain what it is. Hmm?